In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us on another day of the Word for Life. These are great broadcasts, and I'm always struck by how many people that I meet to make comment how they listen to the broadcast and how they're enjoying this study as Pastor Ken is taking us through the book of Revelation verse by verse. We're currently in chapter 11 of this record that God is giving us ahead of time of what is going to happen on the earth at the end time. And it's a marvelous record. We know it's true. So much of the book is prophecy. It's been fulfilled in the past, everything that God has said, and down to the last detail, and it'll be the same out in the future. We know that God's faithful, He's powerful, He keeps His promises, and so forth. So, Pastor Ken, we are in chapter 11 looking at the seventh and final trumpet judgment that the book gives us, and continue talking about this with us.
Yeah, and it is exciting, Pastor Mark. You need to remember there's two comings of Jesus. Mm-hmm. One, He will meet us in the air, we know as the rapture. The second will be He will come down to this earth and He will establish His kingdom in Israel, in Jerusalem, and His people are still going to be Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But He's going to set up His thousand-year reign of Christ. So when we got to verse 11, we saw really the proclamation of victory, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so in looking at that proclamation, that, hey, there's great things to happen, you got to remember again the seventh angel. When he was going to sound off, the mystery of God was going to be finished. That's what we found in chapter 10 mm-hmm. and verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
So secondly, not only do we have the proclamation of victory, we got the jubilation of praise in verses 16 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Mark, that's where we left off, and we'll get into this. But why don't you read for us verses 16 to 18.
And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth."
And so you're thinking, well, what's the jubilation of praise in what I just heard or read right there with Pastor Mark? Well, you see two phenomenal attributes about God here. In verse 17, you see God's power.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember earlier in Revelation 4, the elders praised God the Creator. In Revelation 5:9, they worshiped Christ the Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the focus is on Jesus. He's a conquering king. And so we see right there at the beginning, He's eternal in His character. Saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come." And this echoes for us chapter 1, verse 4, which states, "From Him who is and who was and who is to come." My friends, He is the great I Am of Exodus. He has always been and He will always be, and He's all-powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That would be omnipotent.
Yes.
His omnipotence. He's all-powerful. We see that in the very first part of verse 17. But speaking again of God's power, we see He's awesome in His power. The latter half of verse 17, "Because you have taken your great power and you've reigned." This power is not in people. This dynamic mm-hmm. power is in God alone. Some translations read here, have begun to reign. It's in the perfect tense, which pictures for us the permanence of his sovereign control. And so in this jubilation of praise, not only do we see God's power, but we see God's promise. Verse 18, the nations were angry. Your wrath has come in the time of the dead that they should be judged. You know, the question would be, well, why are the nations angry? Because they went their own way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Watch a child, when they get upset and they go pout in the corner, and you go over to try to talk to them, and you find out they didn't get their own way. They're not happy about that. And so, notice the change of the attitude in this chapter. In verse 2, the nations fiercely take over Jerusalem. In verses 9 and 10, they rejoice at the death of the two witnesses. But now, they're angry. And their antagonistic attitude finally will cause mankind to unite to fight God as the great battle of Armageddon. Anyone want to place a wager on who wins this battle? Yeah. Notice what takes place when the time comes. Recompense.
Mm-hmm.
God returns judgment on the nations, and his judgments are always righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the phrase that God's wrath has come. He's speaking here as if it's already happened, though the trumpet just sounded. And what is going to happen won't take place, as we said earlier in a broadcast, until chapter 15. I don't know who said it. There's a lot of, I think I finally found someone said it had to have been Billy Sunday who said it. But listen, payday is coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Payday someday.
Huh? Payday someday. And so you got recompense here, but then you got the reward. And that you should reward your servants, there in verse 18, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great.
Mm-hmm.
What I found interesting here, Pastor Mark, is there are five different categories used to identify the people of God. You have literally servants. That word doulos there in the Greek, though, is slaves. Secondly, you have prophets. Thirdly, you have saints. Fourth, you have those who fear his name. And fifth, you have those that are small and great. I believe it's speaking of an event. I believe it's speaking of the judgment seat of Christ. Believers will not be judged for their sins. Paul said it well. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. All of our sin, all of that judgment of our sins, past, present, and my friends, even future, fell upon Christ. That was the judgment. That was the wrath of God on our Messiah, on Jesus. However, we're going to be held accountable for our works and rewarded wonderfully by the Lord. God counts every little thing you do for him, no matter how small it is, and he will never forget your labor of love. You know, I would just like all of us to ponder something at this point. And the point is this, and I guess I'd put it in a question. Are you living for him and serving him right now? And if you say, yes, I am, then the normal question following would be, well, what are you doing? Tell me what you're doing. I'd love to hear what you're doing. If not, maybe what we see going on in the world will get your attention that time is short. One thing that happened during the pandemic, Pastor Mark, was that our flaws were exposed.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't like being quarantined, so to speak.
Yep.
And how did we overcome those scenarios? And I think that's where people started really thinking, we have to be living in the last days because time seems so short. And my friends, we're told redeem the time because the days are evil. Buy back every opportunity.
Yeah.
And ask God to help you not miss those opportunities. Unfortunately, I've missed some opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I missed one yesterday, and I was asking God to forgive me. I was so frustrated. I thought God brought somebody right there into my line.
Uh-huh.
Can I tell you, friends, this isn't a time to be sitting and soaking. It's a time to be serving. And then we not only have the recompense here, the reward, but you get the ruin. And should destroy those who destroy the earth.
Mm-hmm.
This phrase is not a reference to people who pollute the environment, but those who pollute the earth with their sin. You see, we're, climate control and all the issues of climate. We want to protect the earth, and I think we need to be good stewards of the earth, but yet, no, what is at issue here is we've polluted the earth with our sin.
Mm-hmm.
God's been using, as it were, a megaphone throughout this whole tribulation period we've been studying to get people's attention. But now, no more warning. The end for the unbeliever has arrived. Every sin will be punished. The only question is, who's going to take the punishment for the sin? If you want to take it, God says you're going to take it. Or you can allow Jesus, who came to take our punishment, to take your punishment and mine. Can I tell you, no one's sin is ever going to be overlooked. Your sin is either going to be pardoned in Christ or it's going to be punished in hell. In God's righteous judgment, He puts the final period on the final page of history. Sin is going to be dealt with. And my friends, if you will trust God, you'll gain victory. But apart from Him, there will be no victory. Join us as we finish up chapter 11 and move into an incredibly interesting chapter, chapter 12, in our next broadcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.